Amen. God bless you, saints. If you have your Bibles, let's turn to Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. Let's pull it up. All right. Let's all bow our heads. Father, Lord, thank you for your presence here, Lord. Thank you for allowing us to come to the house with believers, Lord, to just join our faith together, Lord, and to worship you, Lord, learn more about your word, Lord. Just honor our faith, Lord, as we know you will, as you're a good father. You take care of us, Lord. Reveal things to us, Lord, and help us in our daily lives. Lord, forgive us of all things, Lord, and pray for the service going forward. In your personal name, Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. So downstairs, I've just been talking about the absolute, so I think I'll just continue to talk about that here. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 13, it says, "When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, 'Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?' And they said, 'Some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremias, or one of the prophets.' And he saith unto them, 'But whom say ye that I am?' And Simon Peter answered and said, 'Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God.' Now he asked them, who are people saying? What are people saying? And of course today we know people have many opinions and many things to say. And but then he asks, who do you say that I am? And then Peter says, 'Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God.'" And that distinction is so important, because Peter didn't just say, "Well, I believe everything you say, Lord," or "I believe what you say," or certain things, because there's many people who believe what Jesus says. Even the Muslims believe the things Jesus preaches. They believe he's a prophet. You know, like it says here, right here, that John the Baptist, Elias, Jeremiah, one of the prophets. The Muslim believe he's a prophet. The Muslim even believe in the miracle birth, the virgin birth. But they do not believe that he was God in flesh. And that's the distinction, where that's where all the power is lost. They miss that distinction. They believe so far, they don't have the revelation. And that's why in verse 17, it says, "Jesus answered and said unto him, 'Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but thy Father which is in heaven.' And then verse 18 says, 'And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.'" Mm-hmm. So that is why the distinction of who he is so important, because flesh and blood cannot reveal this unto us. That's why the Muslims, you know, they believe what Jesus says, but they don't believe he was the Christ, because they just look at him and they see flesh and blood. They don't see God in flesh. So they just need to, they don't make that distinction, and that's why Jesus is the rock, the revelation of who he is the rock that the church is built upon. Because that's where all the power is. That's where our healing is, our salvation, and all the benefits that we need to get out of the Word. That's where those things are, is knowing that he came down, God himself came down in flesh and died for our sins. Because if he's not God and he didn't die for our sins, then we have no hope. That's why the Muslims, they believe, that's why they're so religious in their works. You know, Muslims, they pray like five, seven times a day. They say you have to go to the Mecca, you have to walk around the Mecca, you have to go here, you have to do this, you have to have a prayer mat, and there's all this whole setup, because they don't believe he was the Christ. They don't believe there was a sacrifice. And that's the problem, because they believe he was just a man, and he was a good prophet and a good teacher, and he said a lot of good things, and love your neighbor, don't steal, be kind, but they don't see that he was God in flesh, and that's where the power is. It's knowing who he is. It's knowing that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God, as the scripture says, and as the revelation that Peter received. And I'll read some quotes here from the Absolute, where Brother Branham is saying, "He's also like the North Star to a man that is lost." He says, "Now I hunt worldwide, and I've been in the wilderness, and sometimes one of the best, if you can look up, you know, the direction of the North Star, he guides you out. And a man at sea, when he was lost, and he can only find the North Star, he can direct himself. Then the way he's going, now that's when he's lost. He looks for the North Star. Now other stars shift, but that North Star sits right in the center of the earth." Now I've been teaching my Sunday school that, you know, we all need to have a compass. And even Brother Ram talks about here how a compass is going to point to the North Star, because the North Star is the stable star, the star that doesn't move. Other stars shift, as Brother Branham says. But the North Star stays where it is. So if your compass is aligned to the North Star, then you know where to go. You're not going to be lost. Now, the compass for us is our Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is our compass. So it's going to lead us. It's always going to lead us to the North Star. If you're not leading to the North Star, then you're going to be lost. Your compass is off. And there's many people in the world who have very many different compasses. Like say, a businessman, his compass might be, how much money can you make? And that compass is going to lead him to make a certain deal. Or an athlete might say, well, how can I get better at the game and the sport I'm playing? Well, then their compass is going to lead them to be in the gym three times a day, or whatever your compass is. You know, it's going to lead you that way. So if your compass is the Holy Ghost, it's always going to point to the North Star, which is God's Word. And that's what, you're never going to get lost. You're not going to deviate off the path. You're going to know where you're going. And the North Star, the interesting thing about the North Star is that as an indicator, you know, it's not just that the North Star points to the North Star, but once you find north, then you can see east, west, south. So you can see all the different ways that your life could have gone. You can see, you know, you see the North Star and that's where you're going, but you can see the west and you can see that path, or that path I could have went on. You know, if I had stayed in school and maybe become this, and, or maybe if I had, you know, got that scholarship and went to the league or whatever your path could have been, whatever you were doing, you can see the other path, and you don't know where, and you can see the north path and you can see the other paths, and you can see, kind of see where they start out, and you don't know where they go to, but you can see, you can wonder what would happen if I had went down that path. And the truth is, you don't know what would happen, but all you know is that you'd be lost and you wouldn't be going the right way. So thankfully we have a North Star pointing us to the right direction. And that's why Brother Branham says other stars shift. So we need to keep our eyes on the North Star, because it's not going to shift. It's not going to, you know, it's reliable. If I point maybe to Jupiter or to a different star or whatever the case may be, a different constellation, you know, the next night it might be here, and then the next night it's over here. But the North Star is going to be there, and you know, the next night's going to be there, and night after that's going to be there, and yesterday, today, forever. So it's just going to be right there. It's going to be straight. It's going to be narrow. It's not going to move. And Brother Branham goes on to say, no matter where the earth is turning, the North Star remains the same. It points towards the north. That's the only true star. I understand that we have is that extremely North Star. Now, it gives you your direction, and that's what Christ is to you. If you want to go to heaven, you want to be saved, you want to be filled with the Spirit, you want to be Christ-like, Christ is your North Star. If you're lost, don't try to take a creed. He is your North Star. He is your way. He is your direction. Then if you take him as your North Star, then that absolutely places the Holy Spirit, your compass. Amen. The Holy Spirit is your compass, and the compass will only point to the North Star. And if you got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, it can only point to Christ. And Christ is the Word. That's the way you find your way back. So your compass, if it's aligned correctly, it'll always point to the North Star. Everything you need is in the Scriptures. You know, God's Word is perfect, and you need to know who he is, and that revelation is so important. It's who he is. And I even talked to a Sunday school about how, you know, sometimes we look for all these signs and wonders and speaking in tongues and shouting and rejoicing, and all those things are great. But truly what is supernatural is the fact that you've come to a revelation of who Jesus Christ is, because that's what the whole Bible is based on. You know, because many people, like the Muslims, there's plenty of nice people, and they're very sincere, and they worship, and they do what they're supposed to do, but they don't know who he is, you know, and they're doing all these works, but it's in vain, because they don't know who he is. Like, there was a sacrifice that, you know, these works, it's cool to do these works, but we had a sacrifice that, you know, if we fail to do these works, which we will, you know, we have grace. There's a sacrifice for us made so that, you know, when we come to the judgment, we come to these things, when God is looking at us, he doesn't see us. He sees the sacrifice. He sees the lamb slain. He sees our sacrifice. So it doesn't matter what we look like. It doesn't matter what, you know, we do, what we've done in our lives, what we think. But if we hold on to that sacrifice, then everything else is in the clear. And Brother Bam says, this is a long way getting around what I want to say, but you'll understand it maybe what I'm trying to get to you. There must be an absolute in your life. You've got to have it somewhere. Every one of you has got one. You can't go on without one. You've got to have an absolute. So your absolute, you know, we're put on this earth to have a relationship with God and to worship and to serve him. But if your absolute is turned a different way, then it's going to lead you to serve that thing or whatever the absolute may be. And that's when that's why you need to have the compass. The compass is the Holy Ghost. And you know, if you have the revelation of who he is and then you can personally get to know him, then that compass is always going to point you to the North Star. You're never going to have to wonder what's going on or why things happen, but you just know that God's got it all in control and that you can just trust him and keep following him in that way. So, you know, but if your absolute isn't Christ, and that's why people sometimes they get caught up in these different denominations, different ideas, you know, different principles, because they don't have the compass in their life to tell them that, well, this brother, you know, Brother Branham would say he was being kind, but he would go places and he knew that they didn't agree with everything he said. We just say, you know, if you don't agree with everything I say, just sit, listen, and it's like eating a cherry pie. You know, you get to a seed, you just spit it out, but you keep eating the rest of the pie. And sometimes you go to other churches, and sometimes there's things they might not teach right. But if you have the Holy Ghost, you know, you can have that discernment of the Holy Ghost and say, well, no, this thing might not be right. And you just kind of spit out the seed and then just keep eating the pie. So you can have your own discernment. But if you don't have the Holy Ghost, you don't have that discernment. You may go somewhere and you may be deceived and not even know it. But thankfully, we're elect, so we have that promise that, you know, we cannot be deceived that way. And Brother Branham was going to say, there was a time when a woman, her word about table manners, that was the absolute in America. I think her name was Emily Post, if I'm not mistaken. And whatever she said about table manners, if she said you should eat with your, you know, eat with a pass or a knife, or that was it. And why? If she said to eat the chicken, you just picked it up in your hands and eat it. No matter how anybody looked at you, you were exactly in line. See, because that was the absolute. She was the absolute of table manners. That's right. Whatever the woman said, that was it. So similar to God, you know, God is our absolute. So whatever our mannerisms are to be, whatever our demeanors are to be, whatever our lives are to be, it is to be tailored by God. It is to be, you know, checked out and filtered through the Holy Spirit. So similar, like, you know, even if things, so if this woman just said, you know, we're supposed to eat, I don't know, pudding with a fork. Then those, and you might seem odd to you, but that's what she said. So that's how it goes. And similar to God, you know, there might be things that, you know, when you read the scriptures, you think, man, like, I just seem so hard for God to do that. Or maybe it seems like, oh, well, you know, I wish these type of people get into heaven, or wish these type of people were, like, you know, or whatever happens. Or even if, say, maybe you think, oh, well, drinking's not that bad, or this isn't that bad. But you have to have a compass, a Holy Spirit, that will tell you, well, you know what? Even if I don't think it's that bad, even if I think having a little fun on the weekend isn't a bad thing, the Word says something differently. So I need to follow that, even if I disagree with the Word. And always stick to the truth no matter what. So that's why we need to follow our absolute, and whatever he says goes. And Scripture goes on to say, but you see all those with the wrong kind of real absolutes. They failed, every one of them. Standing in Egypt not long ago, I was thinking about the time Pharaoh sat on the throne. And you know, you have to dig down 20 feet in the ground to find where their throne was. Oh my. Oh, what an absolute that would be. It's perished and gone. And the people that relied upon that kind of an absolute, they're perished with it. So where your absolute goes, that's where you go. You know, if your absolute is to perish, then you are to perish. But if your absolute is eternal and everlasting, then you are to be eternal and everlasting. So you must follow your absolute. And he says, why? It was man-made. Anything that's man-made will perish with man. But there is an absolute that cannot perish. There's the eternal word of God. It can never perish, and you must stay with it. We have an absolute at a ball game. Did you know that? We have a ball game can operate without an absolute, and that's the umpire. See, now sometimes we don't like his decisions, but it's absolute. He's the absolute. Anyhow, no matter, if we want to say, other than that, you know, or there was a strike or was a ball, he says strike, that's what it is. Don't argue with him. He's there, he's the absolute in the ball game, because if he said strike, you can fuss, you can throw your hat out there, you can protest it, but it's a strike anyhow. Amen. Now let's just take a minute. What if there was no umpire in the game? What kind of a fuss it would be? It would be chaos. You couldn't play the game without having an absolute in it. Games have got to have an absolute. So every game you play has a rule book, has a rule set, and you could consider life a game, and if that's the case, then God has the rule book, and we need to follow that. The Bible is the rule book. It lays out the laws for us, what we need to do, and how do we come to, you know, salvation and a new birth and have an experience. And we can't just be, you know, playing our own game and trying to play by our own rules, because then we're not going to be able to play at all. You know? And he just goes on to say, you know, talk about how, and that's why the revelation of who he is so important, because, like I said, the Muslims believe, but they don't know who he is. And knowing who he is, and knowing that, okay, this is real. Something about this is real, because, you know, flesh and blood can't reveal this to us. You know, it's not any man can tell you anything, but it's the revelation that you get. You know, it's the man being used through God, so that you can get a revelation. Even the Bible says, you know, you can't even say that the Lord is Christ without even, you know, the Holy Ghost being a part of that. And to truly believe that in your heart, you can't even confess that out loud, truly, and truly believe it without it being, you know, the revelation of the Holy Ghost. And that's why, you know, Jesus is so adamant on, you know, that's why you bless Simon, because flesh and blood, it's not flesh and blood that revealed this to you. My Father in heaven revealed this to you. And similar to that, you know, there's just so many things where even just in our personal lives, we need to yield to God more, because then, you know, things will come out the right way, even in the way we treat each other, even the way we raise our kids, even the way we talk to people, even talk to people who aren't Christian, or people talk to people we disagree with. You know, it's just the labor of love, and knowing that, you know, what would, like, even the, asking the question, what would Jesus do? Or what would my absolute do in this situation? You know, what am I to do? Because we're supposed to model ourselves after him, and he's perfect. So what are we supposed to be? Exactly. And just to be sincere, but also to know that, you know, to go back to the word every time. Because there's many people who, they'll be very sincere, but they don't have the new birth, they don't have the revelation of who he is, you know, and they'll have their own experience, and they'll think, oh, well, I have this gift, or this, that, and they'll think they're being led of God, but they go in the Bible, and it's completely contrary. So it's like, what is their absolute? You know, what is leading them to this conclusion?
Right.
So these types of things is why, just to get to know the person as a person, and even how the Bible talks about just getting to know his face and to see his face and to truly, you know, just to get closer to him. And even, you know, David always talks about how he wants to inquire in the temple of the Lord, or behold his face, and to be in the presence of the Lord, because that's how you see someone's face. You know, like, we have to get closer, because there's no, when these things are being explained in the Bible, there's no FaceTime. There's no Skype. We can't, you know. But to see someone's face, you have to be in their presence. You have to go where they are and be there, you know, and truly be in their atmosphere, and to be in the right atmosphere. So it's all those things. And as the musicians come, and I said, there is no scripture in the Bible that said, there is no promise that says the Bible said God is in the Word, right? God is in the Word. God, the Word is true. And I seen in there the Bible where it said, whosoever shall add one word to it or take one word from it shall be taken his part out of the book of life. Now I know that was an absolute. That word could not change, so I accepted that. I said, now Lord, let me hide it into my heart, that it'll keep it and be reverent with it, and whatever it is, I'll walk with you, guide me. And it's been my absolute. So just to know, you know, for a fact that the word is right, and that we need to always follow the word and be with it. Because you can't add one word or take a word away, because that's how we get in trouble. So it has to be absolute, every word, every line, and we have to, you know, have the Holy Spirit to discern these things, so people can read the Bible. And there's many people who have read the Bible more than us, multiple times over, and they still haven't caught the revelation, really, of what it's saying. They haven't caught the revelation that a man came, and God came in a man, and died for us, and to catch that revelation and to have that in your life. And you know, and they try to follow the word, but it's always odd, because they'll, you know, and even Brother Wade talks about the splits in the Methodist Church and the women preaching and homosexuals preaching and all those things. And it's because they've taken the words away, and they've added words to it. And that's how we get off, is when we're not just following what God has provided for us. So let's all follow what God provided for us. God bless you.